Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic, hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you've all been cleared to know the truth. Well, actually, the truth this week is, Josh, that we don't really have a new mission to discuss on this, I'm going to say this month's episode, this episode for June.
No mission?
It's probably close enough, so happy summer.
So is this like a podcast model decoy or something?
This is a PMD.
A PMD? Okay.
We've got some announcements that we've been hearing some rumors about, so we wanted to kind of cover a little bit of news. And there's also some interesting stuff I found while going through some old comics. I'm not really that old, I guess, more recent comics, but some S.H.I.E.L.D. comics nonetheless that I wanted to sit down and talk with you about for a little bit. But so far, your summer going good?
It has been busy, crazy. Yep, I am done teaching school, so now I'm ready to relax. Matter of fact, I was just out your neck of the woods with a big school group, so herding children all around Washington, D.C.
I am bummed that I was not able to catch up with you, but as you know, my life keeps me a little busy as well. I was getting some new a new leg put on. It feels really good. It's I think it's synthetic, might be like a synth flesh or something like that. But I can really run and jump and stuff like that. I'm looking forward to my next piece.
Okay, that sounds good. Get some, maybe like a missile launcher in your arm or something.
I was thinking about that. I was maybe more like a M&M dispenser or something like that.
I like that. A little lemonade holder in one hand, one arm,
yeah.
And yeah, just a
little popcorn popper in your chest or something like that. You know, just. If you're gonna go for that kind of stuff, you know, you should make it useful.
Yeah, you never see it's always superheroes have like, you know, aggressive stuff, weaponry. Never, you know, practical things. Just like a glove box or something. You suppose Deathlok has a glove box, you know, just to keep.
Well,
you know,
I believe
maps,
the
ID.
But there is that superhero that he's got a glove box. He's got like roller skates, right? Inspector.
Oh, Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget. Yes. Yes.
Now that is funny you should mention that because I heard he was going to be on season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So
they are getting a little crazy for season 2. He is being brought in by the producers. Unfortunately, Don Adams is unavailable to reprise his role. So.
Oh.
But they are getting Steve Carell.
Okay. All right. So. All right. Not Matthew Broderick or.
No, I hated this. Oh my god, that was horrible. Actually, oh no, that was the first one. French Stewart was the second one.
That's right. That's
from
right.
From Third
yes,
Rock and the Sun. Yeah, yeah, that was the one I really hated. No, Matthew Broderick did okay.
Yeah.
But I'm still
nobody beats Don Adams though.
Right. The cartoon that was the one for me. So well, maybe there'll be some stuff like that. Coming up on the DVD and the Blu-ray for season 1, because I don't know if you had seen the news, but that was just recently announced. So we will hopefully, we don't know when season 2 starts, but hopefully we will be getting the DVDs before season 2 starts, because I know that's something that we've talked about on our other podcast about Arrow, where I think didn't the season 1 discs come out just like a week before season 2 started?
Yeah, literally a week before, I think. It was right before. Definitely not enough time to get through the entire season for me.
Right. It's because, with shows that I'm watching like that, I want to feel like I can catch up, and you definitely want to, if somebody's found out about the show over the summer, you know, it's like, oh, let's go ahead and, you know, watch this on DVD or whatever, and it's like, oh, wow, it doesn't come out until the new series starts. You feel like you have to be watching both at the same time and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, luckily this one looks like it's coming out early enough that it could be before the premiere.
Yeah, it's, well, I don't know. I mean, it's September 9th.
Yeah, it depends on when it premieres.
Yeah, and I didn't go back and look and see when season one premiered, but stuff has been starting later. I mean, I'm guessing mid to late September, but probably not into October, I wouldn't guess. Well, especially if they're going to run straight through for however many episodes.
Yeah, the pilot of season one was September 24th, so it was the end of September. So,
okay.
So it may be enough time now. And here's the thing: now, for a lot of people that want to do this, that should be enough time. You know, people like to binge watch these days. I'm not a big binge watcher. I like to really sit down and enjoy, and I cannot do that for 20 hours straight. So, what I like to do is I like to take it in sort of organized chunks. You know, so if I can watch. Four episodes at one time, or a story arc, that would be good. So that gives me a couple weeks to kind of do that. And I'm looking forward to with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, especially we've talked about the first half of the season, especially I think will play a lot better when you can watch them together.
They did when I went back and was rewatching what right before the season finale. Mm-hmm. There's lots of little things that seem really innocuous at first, but given the information that you find out second half of the season or last third of the season, let's say, because I think really that's where it kind of kicked it up. There's all sorts of things you can go, oh, that I think that's what he's talking about here. But again, it was really innocuous when you don't know what's going on. What's cool is, so this is coming out on Blu-ray on September 9th, also the same day as Captain America the Winter Soldier. So you pick them both up, do a little, I guess do a big marathon there, because you can watch, the first 16 episodes, then watch Winter Soldier, and then finish out the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Some of the extras or some of the bonus features, besides the 22 episodes that you're going to get on here, you get something called Journey into SDCC, where it's a kind of a behind-the-scenes piece from San Diego Comic-Con from last year where they showed the series premiere. There's also Marvel Studios Assembling a Universe TV special, which was... when did they air that? That was...
It was after the winter break, I think.
Yeah, well, it was after Winter Soldier came out, because they had the preview bits for, like, it's got some art in it from Avengers 2 Age of Ultron, so.
Yeah, you know what? I think it was actually the week that Winter Soldier came out.
Oh, it might have been. Might have been on their off week for that
week. Yeah, to kind of, I think it was to kind of help people get caught up, see the movie, and then see where it had gone. I that's kind of how I felt. The purpose of the episode was, but.
And then they've got five behind-the-scenes field reports, including the Malibu Jump, The Bridge, Asgardian Bar Fight, Classified, and Cello Duet, visual effects breakdowns, audio commentaries with filmmakers and cast. That's cool. Doesn't say what episodes or how many. I'm sure it's not going to be every episode, but that, hopefully if they... I'd love to hear one on the last or second to last episode of the, like, I think, Ragtag or Beginning of the End. One of those would be great to get a commentary.
Any of those last four or five ones would be great.
Yeah, Providence even, too. There's a gag reel and some deleted scenes. So, no other real details on that right now, but... as it comes out, we will probably be able to share something with you closer to September, if not just after this comes out. Maybe we'll put out a quick podcast the end of that week.
Yeah, I'd like that. What do you think the cover of the DVD? You think the team standing in front of a big shield? You think
the so. Yeah, what I've seen is I've seen two pieces of artwork. So there's one that's the. It's the group shot of the team kind of standing in front of the door.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the DVD one. And then the Blu-ray is the, it looks like it's just the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo.
Okay. I kind of like that.
I like that too. It's I really just, I kind of detest that original artwork, or not the artwork, but that original photo of them. It just it looks so cheesy. I mean, first season photo shoots always look weird because nobody knows who their character is. You know, they're all just kind of standing around in clothes. They don't really seem to fit them. You know, they just they don't feel like real characters yet.
I think Melinda May's clothes fit her just fine. But the other thing about that for me is it's clearly just a montage of photoshopped people all put together in one. That was just their singular character promo shots, and they just threw them in there. But what I would love, and I know they're not going to do this, at least not for season one, but I would love some artwork kind of akin to the style that we saw of those prints that were for sale at the end at the end of the season. I would love a DVD cover with something like that.
Those are nice. I would hope that some of those are actually inside maybe disc art. That might be tough because they're specific episodes. But
That's true. But you know what? Those they just make me feel like I'm looking at movie posters, and I really like the classic movie poster. You know, your Raiders of the Lost Ark, your Star Wars. You know, those classic movie posters that sort of told the story in one sheet.
Are art prints and not just, like you say, kind of like a Photoshop montage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, well, if you do like those covers, or if you do like those posters, I mean, you can actually, and you weren't able to afford them as posters, coming in August, you can get them as variant covers to, let's see, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, six different comic books that are coming out in the month of August. This includes what's weird, though, it's like, you know, they're not necessarily S.H.I.E.L.D.-related comics. It's just, you know, kind of any comic they decided to put these on. But we've got all new X-Men 31, Avengers number 34, Deadpool number 33, New Avengers number 22, Uncanny Avengers number 23, and Uncanny X-Men number 25. And each one of those will have a cover for itself, as well as one of these variant covers with the artwork from the last six episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I know there are at least two of those I'm going to pick up.
I honestly would pick those up just for that, but that seems so bizarre that they would put Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pictures on the covers of those comics.
It's like, and it's not like those titles need any help getting sales. I mean, they could have put them on titles that are not selling very well, you know? but, I mean, X-Men, Avengers, Deadpool, I mean, these are all titles that are big sellers for them, so. I don't know. But
I'm still picking them up.
Yeah. Yeah, so look for those in August. Those are different weeks in August, so you'll just have to check Diamond shipping list or check with your local comic book store to find out about those. Let's see, what else do we have here? There have been some more rumors about Agent Carter and Hayley Atwell. I can't remember if she tweeted or if she mentioned this in an interview, but she said that Dominic Cooper, who plays Howard Stark, will be joining them for the Agent Carter TV show next season, so that's cool. I'm wondering if they're going to get Tommy Lee Jones to cameo in it as well, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Just anybody from that, from the original Captain America.
And maybe based on that Agent Carter one-shot, maybe we'll also see Dum-Dum Dugan.
I hope so. I hope so. Awesome. I really kind of miss that character. I know, you know, it's not a Nick Fury show so much. You know, I mean, he's made a couple appearances in it, but right. I just really like that character of Dum-Dum Dugan. It's awesome.
Yeah, he's kind of a lovable, kind of scruffy, you know, brawler kind of guy. Kind of a mix between what you see on screen and what I remember from the comics and all that. So,
you know, I just thinking of this right now, the team could use somebody like that, kind of a scruffy, I don't want to be too like stereotypical, but kind of a manly man, you know, kind of the 80s action hero with a lovable side, that kind of thing. They could kind of use something like that on the team.
Kind of like Jack Burton.
Oh, yeah, definitely Jack Burton. Matter of fact, Agent Burton would be just fine, actually. I would kind of like that.
I wonder what Kurt Russell's doing.
Man, not much lately, I don't think.
That'd be pretty cool. And then you you saw some Clark Gregg news here come over the wire.
Yeah, well, I was watching some interviews and stuff with Clark Gregg, and he's involved in other things besides just Agent Coulson. You know, he's done he's done things in the past. He's directed things and written things. So, and he has a movie out recently, just June 6th, it came out, called Trust Me. And he has written, directed, and stars in this. And he plays a struggling talent agent, not a very good talent agent. and he finds an actress that he thinks can really help him out, and you know, that the rest of it is kind of a character driven story, and you know, about a lovable loser guy, and he's trying to make his way in the movie business, I guess. But anyway, so it looked like a pretty good movie, actually. I saw the trailer to it. It looked like there was some comedy to it, but also some, you know, kind of tug at your heart, kind of emotional things too. So, and it was different. I can't recall seeing him in anything other than being Coulson, and I'm sure I probably have, but I, you know, doesn't.
Had you seen Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing that he did last summer?
I haven't. No.
So he's in that, and it's, yep, you know, so he's doing Shakespeare, but it's in a modern dress, but they're doing full, you know, full bore Shakespeare.
Uh-huh.
He's awesome in that. I've seen him in a couple other things. He's actually a really interesting director, and a very talented writer. I was watching a movie, called Choke.
Yes.
And it's, the reason it struck my eye is because it's based on a Chuck Palahniuk novel, and that's the guy that wrote Fight Club. He also wrote this book called Choke about a guy that he pretends to choke. Well, he doesn't pretend. He actually makes himself choke in restaurants and gets people to save him, and then like gets money from them, and you know, it's kind of a scam sort of thing. And that's played by... oh, what's his name?
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell. Thank you. And during his day job is working at like a medieval fair, like a not a Renaissance fair, but like a village that pretends to be back in the 1700s. What do you call that? Were they like
a recreation?
Yeah, it's just they do.
Oh, like a Renaissance. You know.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly what it was, but as I'm watching this, Clark Gregg plays the town constable or magistrate or something like that in this little village, and nobody breaks character while they're in there except Sam Rockwell does. You know, he uses modern. You know, they're not supposed to wear watches and all this stuff, and Clark Gregg's always calling him out. Well, Clark Gregg, I then find out, directed and wrote the screenplay for this, and then when I was looking up more information, it's like, wow, really, he's pretty talented, you know, multifaceted kind of actor, comedian. What else has he done? And then he wrote one of my favorite Harrison Ford films, What Lies Beneath, which is a Robert Zemeckis film.
Oh, I did not know that either.
So he wrote the screenplay for that, which is if you like Hitchcock kind of films, this is a great thriller. It's with Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford, and I won't give any more away than it, yeah, that, because it's really creepy.
I will just tell you that when my wife and I saw that, she did not like that movie.
Yeah. This is not regarding Henry by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it's not. So yeah. So anyway, I mean, he's done a lot of things in Hollywood, and I just thought that was kind of neat that he was out there promoting this right now instead of just being Coulson and.
Yeah.
So,
got something to do in the off season here. I mean, it takes a lot to write and direct and star in a movie and stuff like that. So
it does. You know, he needs something to do in the off season. See, this is my off season now too, and I want nothing more than to do nothing. So, although I guess I'm far from doing that. So maybe I do need something to do. But
yeah. And then he gave an interview just talking about, you know, what's coming up for, I guess this was on Collider, about what's coming up for season two.
Yeah.
Had a chance to go through all that? And
I did. And you know, it was mostly about promoting, trust me, but he talked a little bit about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. toward the end. And, you know, he didn't give much away, so this wouldn't be like a spoiler or anything, but he said a couple things that I thought were really, I don't know, kind of, it was a description of how the show's really going to change, and I think we're going to have a completely different feel. One thing he said was here, it's going to be lo-fi. Right, mm-hmm. You're going back to basics because they're starting over. They're starting S.H.I.E.L.D. over, basically. He says you got to rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D. from the ground up in a much more dangerous world where your group is outlawed. So it feels like the early Sean Connery James Bond with the brass knuckles and not afraid to knock somebody off. So I kind of like that feel that this is going to be. Well, I like it that it's going to be different. But I think I'm going to miss some of the gadgets and stuff. So maybe they can – maybe having Fitz and Simmons there, they can kind of start building some of that stuff back up. Like the early days of James Bond when he would go in there and you know, Q would have things that you've never seen before. But they're very simple, basic things, you know, that you could probably explain how they happen. But
It wasn't like the exploding pens and stuff from later episodes.
Right. Or even the, you know, the laser watches, which miraculously could cut an entire car in half or something. So, you know, the other thing he said that I thought was kind of cool, and I didn't write this one down, but it was he said, talking about how between Fury and Coulson, you know, that a one-eyed man in a blind kingdom is the king, something like that, right?
Right.
And he said that the king just handed the keys to me. So, you know, he's saying Nick Fury told Coulson to start S.H.I.E.L.D. over and build it up.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought that was a cool way to put it, the way he said that at the end. So you can find that that interview on Collider, too. It's a video interview. So,
yeah, I believe the original quote, something like, in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Yeah, that's so better. See, I just should have written that one down, too. That was good.
Well, and also, they're going to be moving their time back an hour, so it's now going to be at 9 o'clock Eastern and Pacific, and I guess 8 o'clock Mountain and Central.
Now I put yes. Now that's later for me, 1 hour later.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that'll be good. I think it'll let them get a little darker. Maybe.
Yeah. Now you had posted something about that on our Facebook page. You were asking people if they thought they'd like it darker.
Yeah.
I know you're not a huge fan of the darker tone.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, it's kind of all the rage to be angsty and dark and
it
brooding
is.
And stuff.
I don't think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is anywhere near the dark that I don't care for. I mean,
okay.
I think they could probably turn off a good 10, 20 lights and I'd still be okay.
Well, it started dark, right? It's Coulson comes out of that corner. It's like, got to get that light bulb fixed.
Hey, that's true. It did. But I think they can, you know, just being a Disney show and being on ABC and even at 8 o'clock, cause that's really still, I'm sorry, at 8 o'clock for me, 9 o'clock. It's still not even really that late, so I don't think they'll be going like, you know, Dark Knight Dark or, gosh, I can't even think of any of the other ones that are too dark for me. So I think it'll still be okay. And what I do like about that is I think that it will broaden the appeal because I like having a big audience for this because there's a lot in this show for people to like. You don't have to like everything, but there is a lot of different things to like.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just kind of speaking of, I don't know how dark this is going to be, but there's been some news in the last couple days about the first of the Netflix TV shows that Marvel's doing as spinoffs,
right?
And which is Daredevil, and they've cast Daredevil with an actor that I don't recognize, but the news that I was really excited about is that they cast Vincent D'Onofrio from Full Metal Jacket.
Wow.
And also, Homicide, I think, is either Homicide or Law and Order, one of those. He's been on one of those for like 10 years now.
Criminal
he's gonna be
intent.
Playing the Kingpin from Daredevil, so that'll be pretty cool.
Huh. Nice. I had not heard that news yet. That's
yeah,
cool.
Still not sure if they're going to, you know, if he's going to shave his head and go bald or what, but that's pretty exciting. So there may be, I think there's hopefully room for S.H.I.E.L.D. to coexist in some way with these upcoming Netflix films, Netflix series, because these are going to be sister series to S.H.I.E.L.D. While S.H.I.E.L.D.'s on TV, these are going to be 13-episode series on Netflix, and they're all going to take place in New York in the Hell's Kitchen area, from my understanding. So not necessarily a huge hotbed for S.H.I.E.L.D., but definitely if there are superheroes and villains battling it out, I could see that there is a chance for a crossover in some fashion. I think that would be a nice nod, you know, in the same way that we have characters from the movies popping up on the TV show. I think we could have some cross promotion, you know, with a character from the Netflix shows coming onto S.H.I.E.L.D. or vice versa. I think that might make for a nice little fan moment. But also, yeah, you know, just again, show that this is a huge universe.
Okay, so forgive me for not keeping track of this, but I'm assuming that means that the Netflix shows are owned by Disney too. So they're doing the part of the Marvel universe that that Disney owns.
Yeah, so Disney worked out a direct to Netflix contract for four different TV shows: Daredevil, Power Man, aka Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and aka Jessica Jones, which was from a comic series called Alias, and she's a ex-superhero that now runs a detective business and works with or uses Matt Murdock, who is Daredevil, as her lawyer every now and again. And then after those four series air, and I don't know, they're probably going to be quarterly series. I'm not sure how else they're going to do them, but Daredevil, I guess, is going to be first, and probably a while after that comes out, then they'll release the next one. And then after all four series comes out, they're going to do a Defenders miniseries. And the Defenders is originally a supergroup made up of the Hulk, Silver Surfer, Namor, and Doctor Strange. But, of course, they've changed over time, so it's probably going to be these four characters teaming up that have individual shows.
Also, one of my favorite video games from the 80s, so it's good.
Defender?
Yes. Just an infinite scrolling there.
Yes.
So that's cool. Okay, now, so you've got that. You've got those three Netflix shows. You've got Agent Carter.
Four, excuse me.
Agent Carter smack down right in the middle of
season two here.
Season two, and so they're going to break it up. It won't. I can't remember the numbers now. Do you remember the numbers? Is it 10 episodes?
We haven't really gotten the numbers, but I'm thinking it's going to be probably like 11 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then I think it was a 13-episode Agent Carter series, and then the other 11 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, man, that's going to be awesome. That's going to be very few breaks in between each week.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
There's going to be basically no off week for them on ABC.
No. No, there might be one or two here and there around Christmas time.
Yep.
You know, something like that. But, wow. Wow. Okay. Clear my calendar.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's going to be almost half a year there worth of stuff. That's...
Yeah. And just to just a little side note here, and I'm crossing franchises here, but just as a little side note, they did announce that Flash on CW is now going to be on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock, so it is going to be 1 hour before S.H.I.E.L.D. starts.
Okay.
You know, for those of you that actually watch it in real time,
right.
I tend to watch it when I get a chance and, you know, zip through the commercials. But so they won't be overlapping each other, and that's probably done very much on purpose. So
yeah, I hope so. I was noticing that based on my kind of research here, it looked like there were going to be approximately like 9 or 10 shows on network, well, on television next season, based on comic books.
Wow.
Now not necessarily all superhero shows, because some of them, like The Walking Dead, is, you know, just, it's a zombie comic, but it's a comic.
Yeah. Yeah, just, yes.
There's, so just for all you comic book fans that are out there, you're going to get Gotham based on Batman stuff on Fox on Mondays, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Tuesdays, with Agent Carter airing in the mid-season hiatus, and then Constantine, which is, again, a DC property based on Hellblazer, about a kind of a exorcist detective. Those are going to be at Fridays on NBC. Arrow's going to be on Wednesdays still on the CW. Flash is going to be Tuesdays on the CW, like you mentioned. iZombie is going to be a mid-season replacement show on the CW, and that's more of like a comedy zombie... I don't know what to call that. I don't know. That one doesn't appeal to me. Then you've got The Walking Dead. And then there's also something called Preacher that's going to be on AMC, which is it's about a preacher that has gotten the abilities of God, and he kind of walks around the country. It's kind of like Highway to Heaven if the guy was the Punisher, sort of. I don't know. It's a weird. It's
which
kind
I'd like
of
to see a
mashup.
Mashup of right now, please.
Yeah, and it's produced by Seth Rogen. He's one of the producers on it. So it's
wow.
When I heard about them doing that, I'm like, wow. Okay, so I've really never read that comic book. So I found some issues of it and took a look at it, and it looks that'll be a pretty interesting show. But it needs to be on like basic cable. It's not something for TV or
More
over the air TV. So
now you're forgetting one more humorous side, you know, of comic characters, you know, not serious. And you watch C-SPAN if you want to. That's not based on a comic book, is it?
No, unfortunately.
So the TV's starting to look a lot like my dad's old comic book box, where he would have comic books of just about every genre that was published when he was growing up. You know, he had his superhero, of course, then he had detective comic books and Western comic books, and this is kind of neat. I like that they're not all superheroes, because you could really totally oversaturate the market with that.
Are you afraid with like kind of all the movies, not only that Marvel Studios is doing, but there's also, you know, the X-Men and Spider-Man franchises, and they're trying to reboot the Fantastic Four now, and then there's all these rumors about what's going to happen with the DC side, and the Batman versus Superman with Wonder Woman, and are they doing a Justice League show or movie, and are you worried about oversaturation and all of a sudden everybody kind of going, oh my god, this is too much, and then just kind of giving up?
Yes.
Okay.
And what I think we're seeing, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing, and it could go a lot of different directions, but this kind of reminds me of back in the 80s when it was just all, you know, big muscle man action movies.
Just Stephen J. Cannell shows.
Yes. So I kind of feel like we're in the era of the comic book. And, you know, I'm saying that right now as Denver Comic-Con is going on. it really is in entertainment right now, because that's what's selling. That's what's popular. And like I said, it can go a lot of different directions. That doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. But at some point, there's going to be some other genre that comes in and starts to overpower them, because people are just like, yeah, it's another superhero movie.
Yeah.
So that's why I said I like that they're not all superhero shows, that they're a little bit more just a variety, you know. I mean, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to me doesn't feel like a superhero show.
No,
which, you know,
it
some people complain about, actually, but I'm okay with.
Well, and Marvel's films are each film is trying to be slightly different, you know, because Captain America, the First Avenger, was more of a World War II kind of action film. Avengers was kind of an all-out action film, but, you know, it was a character piece. You've got Captain America, the Winter Soldier, which is more like a thriller. And then we've got these three new ones coming out. The next three that we're going to see from Marvel Studios, Guardians of the Galaxy, which will be out August 1st, I believe. And then Age of Ultron, which is coming out next May. And then Ant-Man, which is coming out next July. All those seem to be different types of films. Right now, I know, like, I think Clark Gregg and Samuel L. Jackson have been asked, are you guys going to be in any of these? And I don't, you know, they haven't said that they were shooting anything, though I don't know that they can say. I would doubt they would be in Guardians of the Galaxy, because it seems like that's going to be a kind of a spacefaring epic, right? That's going to be
right.
All off
there
planet.
Are connections to Earth, though, and it could, by the end, have something that will ultimately affect something in the Earth Marvel universe, you know. So I don't know, but
like the bad guys Armada will be poised to attack the Earth and at the end, and that's where the movie ends.
Sure, something like that, maybe. So it's got you know, Sky-Lord is he's got connections
Star-Lord,
to Earth.
Man.
Star-Lord. Did I say Sky-Lord? Good. Gracious, what? See, hey, I'm getting
Sky-Lord's from Avatar or something like that, I think. So,
really?
I don't know.
Anyway, so I'm curious to see how the movies as they come out affect Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, because obviously Captain America was it completely changed it. So
right.
But then you look at
Thor 2, which, you know, touched on it a little bit, but not quite.
That's true.
So
that's true.
I would, I could see, like, and especially with, like, the Avengers 2. Avengers 1 was closely linked to S.H.I.E.L.D. and had all the seeds that started the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series.
Yeah.
So I could see Avengers 2 working that way a little bit. There is no S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, so obviously somebody else is going to have to be footing the bill, probably Tony Stark. But there's, you know, I think there's definitely room for some S.H.I.E.L.D. intervention in there in some place.
Or
just
Hammer.
Don't know how it's going to work, yeah. Or, yeah, maybe Hammer, huh?
I don't know.
Wait, Hammer as in the organization or Hammer as in Justin Hammer?
Armin Hammer, actually. he's going to come in and...
the guy from The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. See how we can just change genres here? It's good. We'd go in different directions. This is why they don't ask me about any of the storylines.
Well, the real reason I kind of wanted to get together and talk was that I was reading a comic series that I mentioned to you called Secret Warriors. Now, this is a series that came out back in, what was it? I think it was like 2011?
2011, yeah.
And it was part of the Dark Reign storyline. So this came out after Secret Invasion, which was a storyline that featured the shape-shifting Skrulls having infiltrated all the different superhero teams and the government and everything like that, and basically invading and trying to take over. And, of course, nobody could trust who anybody was. And this takes place after that, where S.H.I.E.L.D. has been dissolved, and an organization called Hammer, H-A-M-M-E-R, has popped up in its place. And then Secret Warriors was, I don't know, let's see, it was like a 28-issue series that they did. But the thing that caught my eye on the first six issues was the fact that the cover said Nick Fury, Agent of Nothing. And that just harkened back to the, I think it was Providence, when Coulson was shouting how, you know, he didn't want to be an agent of nothing. He was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., even though, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't really exist anymore at that point. And I pointed this out to you and said, hey, you should take a look at these issues, because it seems like they're drawing a lot of the elements for Season 1 from this series. And I just saw lots of different similarities. The fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. broke up, the fact that... Hydra had infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. and had been pulling the strings for longer than anybody could imagine. Nick Fury is kind of on the run with a group of super-powered S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that he's recruited from something called the Cocoon. He gets
an unlikely team of heroes.
Yes. All children of different villains, by the way. I don't know. It's it, I don't you really don't pick a lot of that up in the issue. I don't think, but like one of them's the kid of the supervillain Mr. Hyde. One of them is the Griffin's daughter, I think. One of them is Dr. Druid's son. So there's a lot of weird, you know, it's comic book, soap opera kind of stuff going on. The other thing that really struck me was the fact in issue number one, they kind of have this dossier at the end, some information that Nick Fury pulls from the internet, or not the internet, but like an internal SHIELD mainframe. And it's listing a bunch of Fury's secret bases, including the sandbox, the playground, as well as Providence, and a whole bunch of other names. He's got like 27 secret bases here. And I'm like, these are the same names that they're pulling for the show. And, you know, they have a picture of where they are on a map of the world and, you know, sandboxes in Northern Africa and stuff like that, where they talked about it on the show and everything like that. So I think this is kind of a nice roadmap of what they've been doing with the show and some ideas for what they've been doing with the show. And I think we might be able to, you know, make some intelligent guesses about what they're doing with second season. You know, based on this, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on the issues and tell you what you know, have you just tell me what you thought about them.
Well, after reading through the whole thing, I mean, as I was reading, I would just, you know, I kept catching things. I'm like, oh, they did that. Oh, they did that. And then, then I started, after, you know, a few of those, I started going, I wonder if this is where they're going with that. You know, I mean, it, like you said, you know, Nick Fury had all these secret bases that were just his, you know, mm-hmm. and there was a lot more than they've talked about in the show. So he's got other options. Plus there was a whole bunch of agents that they mentioned, that have been on the show, which I know, you know, were in the comics anyway, but, it had a whole list of them in this. So, I totally think that they pulled tons of stuff from this.
And also, Winter Soldier pulled some of its stuff from this. I think this is where Alexander Pierce was first introduced as well.
I'm
not sure about that, but he's mentioned in some of these files and stuff.
He's
like
on
this.
It's a secret agent, SHIELD agent files, and it says Alexander Pierce. This is unknown, but I guess he'd be considered an agent, I suppose.
Yeah. I think he might have had a promotion for the movies and stuff like that. So
yeah. It also had John Garrett. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that. And Agent Sitwell was working with Nick Fury. Nick Fury also pulled the if not, I don't think all of them, but he pulled a bunch of the Howling Commandos that were still alive back together.
Right. Right. Well, so I thought, as soon as I saw that, I thought, well, wait a minute, they could do something like that, you know, with Triplett being with them now, or at least in the end, there he was. Maybe they could do something like that, because that's what Coulson's job is now, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. is to start rebuilding up a group of people that are loyal to what was SHIELD, and or at least what they thought was SHIELD, getting a big group, like a Howling Commandos kind of group, because I think by the end of this, he had, you know, recruited, what was it, like 3,000 Howling Commandos or something like that?
Yeah, there were, 2,000 or 3,000 ex-SHIELD agents that had kind of been absorbed by Hammer, basically defected back to... Uh-huh. And it wasn't really SHIELD, it was kind of just, the Howling Commandos, so...
Including Eric Koenig.
Yes, this is the original Eric Koenig, the Howling Commando, not the same type of character that they have on the show, but same by
no,
name.
A little more fit.
yes, very very fit and blonde. But it's interesting you say that about Triplett. I think that's an interesting idea. I can't see them doing it exactly the same way they did it in the comic, because of course with the comic timeline, All these Howling Commandos are still alive. They're just older, but they had all been in World War II.
Right.
Whereas they can't really do that for the show, but they could definitely use offspring of the Howling Commandos.
Yeah, yeah, that was one of my thoughts too.
Which would be pretty cool.
Or even, and it doesn't even have to be necessarily Howling Commandos, because I think they just said, didn't they say on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it was Triplett's grandfather that was a Howling Commando, right?
That is correct.
And so he wasn't. But, you know, they could do offspring of it, or just a group that is like Triplett, you know. So Triplett gathers a group. They could even call it something different, really. But just the idea that he's a member of this group that would really come to Coulson's side and kind of help him do the fight. Mm-hmm. But I like the offspring idea, though. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and just kind of an elite group that can work with S.H.I.E.L.D., but is not part of them, I guess. More of a military unit versus a intelligence unit, because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s kind of the intelligence unit. The Howling Commandos are more of a military group.
Yeah.
Like specialists, yeah. I guess. So.
And that'd be a good place to see someone like Dum Dum Dugan in there.
I wouldn't mind, you know, if they were to make him still alive or something, just, you know, have him be this really, really old guy giving some advice in an episode or something, you know, kind of like, well, I was going to say like Scotty on The Next Generation of Star Trek, but
I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing kind of I guess he would be pretty old, wouldn't he? I don't know how old he'd be in his 80s, maybe.
probably he'd have to be man, he'd be 60 plus, he'd be 90 plus.
Oh, all right, dang.
I mean, assuming that he's like in his 30s.
Hey, I saw like an 80-year-old guy pull a car with his teeth on America's Got Talent. So maybe, maybe he could be like the guy in the wheelchair on Dodgeball, you know?
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe not. But somebody like that character would be fun to see.
Yeah. And then you mentioned here that so Furies asked someone to go undercover as an agent of Hydra in the comics here.
Yeah, and they don't, at least in the six issues that I had here, they don't ever tell you who it was. But then I start to wonder, well, I know this seems unlikely, especially given everything that we know now at this point, but could that be Ward? Could Fury have asked Ward to go undercover? I don't know. I mean,
it's always possible.
It seems so unlikely because of how far he went, and, you know, given the opportunity, he could have really come back and helped them towards the end there, you know, when it was clear that they had the upper hand on Garrett. But as far as I know, Ward's still on for season two, right? I haven't heard anything otherwise.
Yeah, as far as I know, the entire cast is coming back. This entire regular cast is coming back. So, and I don't mean to contradict you, but I thought that it's been like a week since I reread these again, but I think the person who's undercover is revealed in the last page of the last issue that we've got.
Was it six?
Yeah. Nick was talking to someone on the phone, and she takes off her mask.
Well, right. But now I know what you're talking about. And that could be. It could be. But I don't know if that was who it was or not. Yeah. I almost felt that maybe that was her own little scenario, and he had somebody else planted in there, but
that
I could be
possible,
wrong about
that. Yeah, I hate that we're being so coy here, but I mean, this is a pretty cool series. You know, if you guys have the chance, you should check out trade paperbacks or find the individual issues or something, or get them, download them digitally from Comixology or something like that.
And now I need to go find whatever comics came after this, because this was 3 years ago. I could just go find out.
it's not like this is a current storyline that.
No, but it's fun to discuss. So there you go.
Yeah, so, and there's a lot of stuff going on in here just in terms of who's playing who. I did want to pull up one piece from the end of issue six here. So one of Fury's second in command is named Daisy. She's got short black hair. I remember during season one, remembered hearing people referencing this character. Her code name's Quake, and people were thinking Sky might be Quake. Like, she might equate to this as someone that was trying to be groomed to, you know, have superpowers and be put in this place. And she's really upset because Nick called her in using some code device or something like that, that had her and her team hop into this firefight and really put themselves at risk. And he's like, you know, it wasn't me that did that. It was somebody else. And she's like, okay, well, who is that? And he's like, there are questions you will not get answers to. There are things going on that you do not get to know about. And rest assured, I will never slip up in case you feel like being coy. So he is, you know, basically telling her right there, it's like, I'm never going to tell you exactly what's going on. You know, just like Nick Fury in the movies, I've got secrets. She says, are you ever going to trust me? And he's like, the best I can offer is that I want to and take it for what it's worth. But very few people get that far with me. So, you know, now again, this is the Nick Fury character and not Coulson. Right. So it is a slightly different. What I want to say, power echelon that we see here with the comics, and this is also the Caucasian Nick Fury, not the Ultimate Universe Nick Fury, the black one that looks like Sam Jackson in the comics. This is the original, you know, old white dude Nick Fury that's been around forever. So it's going to be different in the TV series, but all sorts of just little interesting little tidbits here. They obviously just went, hey, we like this. Hey, this sounds cool. And you can kind of see, you know, just like the films, the Marvel films like Avengers and Captain America, the Winter Soldier, are not strict adaptations of any one particular story. They take pieces from a number of different comic stories. So,
well, I completely agree with you. I think they got tons of stuff from this series right here. So you have to check it out. Secret Warriors is what it's called.
Yep. And, oh, actually it was, I guess the digital version is copyright 2011. It actually came out in 2009. It was April 2009 through the end of 2011. That's when the last issues were published.
All right. Well, that'll help me find the next issues that I need.
Yeah, 28 issues total, and it was written by Brian Michael Bendis and Jonathan Hickman, and at least these first six issues, Stefano Caselli did the artwork for it, and they actually made their first appearance in, like, was Mighty Avengers, New Avengers, something like that, during the Secret Invasion storyline, so... Check that out. Oh, actually, I'll tell you right here. I got their list here. It's Mighty Avengers number 13, and then they showed up as a team in Secret Invasion number 3 in 2008. So there you go.
Sounds good. So, and also, just so you know, the after Secret, I'm lost the name. What's it called again? Here, I go.
Secret Warriors.
Secret Warriors. Sorry.
Yeah.
So after Secret Invasion. And the Secret Warriors one, I'm trying to find the next title. So, 2009 is when you said this was?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So look that up and I'll find the next one. And maybe next time on the show, I'll tell you how that one was.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I'm hoping that we'll be able to get back in touch in maybe about another month. That would put us in July sometime. And maybe we'll do an episode late July and maybe one in early September to celebrate the DVD release. And that will get us all geared up to kick off season 2 whenever they deign to start airing those episodes, I guess. That sound like a good idea?
That sounds like a great idea. And that's going to... hype me up for the whole summer, ultimately until end of September or whenever it ends up being.
Well, whenever we come back for whatever the final one is we do right before season 2, I guess we'll have to have seen Guardians of the Galaxy and see if there's any kind of S.H.I.E.L.D. references in that.
I'm sure I will have seen it at least a couple times.
Excellent.
So I'll take my notebook.
That sounds good. So, well, I guess that's about all we have for this month's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
Yeah, and if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you leave us some feedback on iTunes. And you can also contact us by email at shield@randomchatter.com. Or you can get a hold of us on Twitter Check out our Twitter page at Agents Podcast and our Facebook page at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
And also be sure to check out the other podcast that Josh and I do here on the Random Chatter Network. It's called Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, which follows the TV show Arrow. And we should be having some a couple shows here during the summer break as well. I think on the next one, we're going to be looking at Arrow's guest appearance in the Flash trailer. So look forward to that. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.